God repurposes evil, doesn't he? It says that the things that were intended for evil, the very things that were intended for evil, God takes. He takes them and he turns them around and he uses them for his good. So what was purposed for evil, even, God takes it, repurposes it, and uses it for good. And so you can see that God is a God of repurposing, and he repurposes our lives. And these are just a few of the examples in Scripture that you can see of God repurposing. But for today, I want to look a little bit more in depth in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me there, Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be in verses 17 through 24. And essentially, Paul is writing this letter to the church in Ephesus. He's actually writing this to saints, okay? So keep in mind as we're reading this, he's writing to already believers, already followers of Christ. And he's going to warn them, and then he's going to tell them about their purpose. And that's essentially his entire thrust and theme through Ephesians, is Paul encouraging and strengthening the saints to live out their purpose, okay? And so that's the whole idea here. At the end of the service today, we're going to be taking communion together. And what we're going to do is we are going to identify with Christ. That's essentially what you're doing when you take communion. You're identifying with Christ. Christ, you're mine, I'm yours. We're together, me and you, one, right? We are one together. And so you're identifying with Christ. But what I'm going to come back to is that not only do we identify with Christ in his life, but we identify with Christ in his purpose and his mission. So if you are going to come around this table and take up this bread and this juice and you're going to say, here I am, Lord, I'm all yours. You're saying, God, I'm all yours for not only to live for you, but to live my purpose that you gave me for you and to live the mission that you gave me to live for you. Are you with me? Okay. Starting in verse 17. Here we go. Now, Paul here, he's warning the believers, right? He's warning followers right now. Starts as a warning. He says, now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of their ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous, they've become hardened, and they have given themselves up to sensuality and greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Now, I want to pause right there before we continue on, just to kind of highlight what Paul is talking about here. Paul is warning the church here. He's warning the saints. And he's reminding them of who they used to be before Christ. And he's saying, look, this is how the Gentiles live right now. This is how you used to live. And he's basically warning them about the frustration that arises of living without God. Okay? He says that when people's minds and their lives are not open to God and his truth, it becomes a stumbling block for them. Because what they end up doing is they end up getting caught up in their own ways. And I'm going to come back to that in just a few minutes. But he's saying that as their minds and their lives are closed to God and to his purposes in their life, they are becoming increasingly hardened to God. And they become unresponsive to God. And eventually the time will come when they lose all sensitivity to God and become lost in their own ways. Why? Because they defied God and his purpose for their life. And so he's warning them here, don't be alienated from the life of God. Don't be strangers to the purposes of God in your life. Don't be alienated from your meaning and your purpose of existence like the Gentiles did. They were a people who walked through life in ignorance. Just walking through life, coasting through life, completely unaware of God's purpose for their lives. And then Paul reminds them, starting in verse 20, he reminds them of who they are, and he reminds them of their purpose. Here it is, in verse 20. He says, but that is not what you've learned of Christ. Assuming that you've heard about him and you were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, which is corrupt through the deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self. Get this, the new self that was created after the likeness of God. To put on the new self that was created, that was given to you by God in the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. And so he tells them here, no, don't act like this. Don't go through life with your minds on yourself. Don't go through life unaware of God's purposes for your life, because you will end up completely frustrated. Why? Because you people have known about Christ. You've been taught about Christ. You've heard about him. And if you're not living in that new life, in that new purpose that God has given you, you are going to find yourself completely and utterly frustrated with life. And what happens is that because you're so frustrated in life, is that you become hardened to God. And you become callous to the things of God. And you lose all sensitivity, and you're unresponsive to God because you've been focused on yourself and your own ways. And he's saying, don't walk like that. Don't walk in the old way. Put off your old self and put on this new self. He says, be renewed in the workings of your mind, in the spirit of your mind. You know what that word renewed means? In the Greek, it means to be made new in quality. It means to be made new in form. It means to be given a completely different function. It means to be renovated, fixed up, and given a new purpose. To be renewed in Christ is to be repurposed. Not only does he remake you and give you new life, but he gives you new purpose. And each and every one of us have to walk in that purpose. It's important that I clarify something here, that purpose has been there as long as you've been created in the likeness of God. You were created with a purpose in mind. God had a purpose in mind when he created you, a divine purpose. And we all know that when sin entered this world, it distorted and it perverted our purpose. And so with sin in our lives, the Bible said that we had a different purpose to start out with. And we came into this world in our different purpose. In Romans 5 and Romans 8, it says that our purpose was that we were enemies of God. That we were enemies of God. Now, if you look at that word enemy a little bit in depth, you see that there's a purpose behind being an enemy. And the purpose of being an enemy is that you're actually actively hostile to God's purposes. If you're an enemy of God, you are actively bringing hostility to God's purposes. And the thing about it is, none of us even knew it until we had Christ in our lives. Nobody even knew. None of us knew that each and every one of us were enemies of God, completely opposed to God's purposes, so much so that we didn't even realize that we were bringing hostility. We were purposely inflicting harm against God's purposes. And none of us even knew about it because we were enslaved to sin. Enslaved. You were enraptured by it. You were entangled by it, and you had no idea until Christ said, you're entangled by it. Let me set you free. And so prior to Christ, our lives, we were enemies of God. Our purpose was to bring hostility towards God's purposes, to go against it, to oppose his purposes. And when you received salvation, not only were you remade in that moment, but God repurposed you. And he gave you and I a new function. Oswald Chambers, he refers to this putting on the new self, like Paul is talking about. Put on this new self. He says, put off that old self and put on your new self, that repurpose every day. Put it on every day, daily. You have to consciously put on your purpose and say, I'm walking through life today in my purpose. And Oswald Chambers, he likens it to being converted every day. That's how he uses the phrase. He says, we should be converted every single day. When I wake up, God, my purposes are your purposes. Your purposes are my purposes, God. And he goes on to say that if we refuse to lay our lives down daily for Christ and to take up his purposes in our lives, then it will become a stumbling block in our lives. Why? Because we begin to deify our independence and our free will. In other words, if we refuse to live according to God's intended purpose, his repurposing of us every day, it becomes a stumbling block in our lives, because what in essence happens we're doing is we're worshiping our independence and we're worshiping our free will. What are you talking about, Pastor? I don't worship my independence. I don't worship my free will. Okay, well, look at what worship is. What does it mean to worship something? To worship something means to idolize it. It means to put it above God. It means to give it the final say. It means to give ourselves over to it. It means to put it before God. It means to treat it as God. It is the final say. My independence, my free will. I don't want to live for your purposes today, God. I just want to thank you for your gift of grace. Thank you for the salvation. But no, I'm good. And what Paul is talking about here in this warning is he's saying, don't be those people who go through life alienated, separated from the life of God, separated from the purpose of God, because you're going to become frustrated as all get out with your life, because you know that you know that you know that God has created you for a purpose. And if you're not living out your daily purpose and you're not choosing to put on your new purpose each and every day, then you're going to become callous and you're going to begin focused on yourself, and you get stumbling block, and your own ways become your own stumbling block. And you begin to deify and worship your own independence. And yes, we all at times worship and idolize our independence and free will. All of us do. We all do that. We're all guilty of that. All the while, we're at the same time, we're trying to live this life for Christ. But we have to remind ourselves that to live a life for Christ, to say that I'm a follower of Christ, to say that, God, I'm all yours, and to identify with the life and the purpose and the mission of Christ, like we're going to in just a few moments, to do that is to relinquish everything that pertains to our own independence and free will. It's to give it up. It's to say, God, my purposes are now your purposes. I give you my independence. I give you my free will. I don't hold on to them and worship them, but God, here they are to you. If you are a follower of Christ, we did this a couple months ago. We talked about what it means to follow Christ, remember? It means to take up your cross and follow me. That word means there to give up all rights to yourself. Woohoo! Sign me up! Yes! Yes! But what Paul is telling you here is that it's the most rewarding and satisfying thing you ever do. How many can testify to that? Absolutely. There is nothing like living in the purposes and the plans that God had ordained for you from the beginning of time. And there is nothing more frustrating, and you want to beat yourself over the head, than walking through life knowing that God has a purpose for you and choosing not to walk in it daily. There's not a more frustrating way of life. You see, the people in the world, they don't know what they're missing. That's what Paul's getting at here. They don't even realize it, that they're alienated from the life of God. But you do. You've been taught of Christ. You've been told that he has rescued you. He's redeemed your life. He's reconciled you. He's justified you. He's sanctified you and is sanctifying you. This is your God and your King. Why would you not walk in the purposes that he has laid out for you? And so that's what Paul's warning him about here. That it does not become a stumbling block for them. Their own ways, their own independence and free will. He's warning them not to walk through life in ignorance, unaware of God's purposes in our lives. The new life that God places within us is what we have to choose daily to put on. It's an everyday choice to put on my repurpose, to put on this new purpose. In the morning, ask yourself, God, am I going to be... Ask yourself, God. You like that? Ask yourself, God. Am I going to be awakened to your purposes today, God, or am I going to simply ignore them? It simply comes down to that, doesn't it? It simply comes down to that. God, am I going to be awakened to your purposes in my life today, or am I going to ignore it? You see, this life of Christ, this following of Jesus, this taking up your cross, following him, and giving up everything, your independence, your free will, all the rights of ownership to yourself. It comes with a new purpose. It comes with a new set of values. It comes with a new set of principles. It comes with a new purpose of existence. You see, God doesn't just patch up the cracks in our life. Val, can you put up that old barrels for me, please? God doesn't just patch up the cracks in our lives. He doesn't just put on a fresh coat of paint. He doesn't just restore the broken parts of our lives. He does all that stuff, but he doesn't do it so that we can remain in the old original purpose, the old prior life, old self purpose. But he does it to give us a new life so that it can function in the new purpose that he gave it to us. He gives you a new function. He gives you a new way of doing life, a life that is so opposite of the purpose you had before. And I want to say this, and I'm saying this out of love because it's out of Scripture, but it's so important that we all know this. In Romans 14:12, it says that each of us will one day give an account of ourselves to God. Each and every one of us will one day stand before God and give an account and be held accountable for what we did on earth with the life that he gave us. We're going to have to stand before him and give an account of ourselves to God and what we did on earth with the new life that he's given us. Now, I don't use that as a scare tactic. I don't use that as a threat. I use it as the gospel. That is the truth of the word of God, and I believe it's actually the grace of God. I believe it is the grace of God to let us know that one day we're going to have to go before him and give an account of ourselves. That's the grace of God to us, letting us know what's ahead so that we can check our lives right now and say, whoa, okay, I better get on track. Are you going to be able to stand before God and answer him honestly? Yes, God, with this new life you gave me through your son Jesus, it made a dramatic change in my life. And I lived according to the new purpose you gave me. I took on the life of Jesus. I took on his purposes. And I took on his mission. Are you going to be able to say that? Stand before God and answer him honestly. It all comes down to who's ruling our lives, right? Is my independence and my free will ruling my life? Doing what I want to do, what pleases me? Or is God calling me to something higher? Something bigger? Something so much further than what I can see with my own eyes? Liz, can I ask you and the worship team to come on up, please? Thank you. And if I could ask the ushers and the greeters, if you guys would just begin to distribute the crackers and this juice. Thanks, guys. I want to just give you an example real quick in Scripture, because you may be thinking today, like, look, if I give God, if I surrender to God's purposes in my life, it's just, I'm going to lose everything. And yes, to follow Christ is to give up everything. But there's something about it that I want you to see. Paul was a zealous person before Christ. He was a scholar, right? Before he met Jesus. He was intense. He was an intense man in the study of the law and as he persecuted Christians. But after he met Jesus, guess what? Peter was still zealous. And he was still scholarly. And he was still intense. And his intensity did not diminish. But instead, God took all that and repurposed it, didn't he? He took those qualities and those characteristics that were Paul's, and he took it and he repurposed it and he redirected it. And that's what God wants to do with each and every one of us. I hope you leave here this morning with a greater understanding that God has called you according to his purposes. He's invited you to be a part of his divine purposes. And now before we take this communion together, I just want to say something to three groups of people who may be here today. When it comes to living out our purpose. And the first is to the veterans, is what I'm going to call them. I'll call you guys. Those of you who are in this room who have been serving God for a long time and you've faithfully been living according to his purposes, but you know, right now, in a little older in your age, maybe, and you may be feeling a little left out now. You may be feeling dismissed, as if maybe your time serving God is over. You feel a little bit pushed aside. You feel a little bit outdated, maybe used up. And I say to you guys, God is not done with you. He's not done with you. In my understanding from observing God work in the lives of other people is that repurposing takes place more than once, multiple times in a person's life. He repurposes. God's calling on your life. God's calling on your life will always be his calling. What changes from time to time is the assignment. From time to time, the assignment of that calling looks different. But the calling never changes. God has called you according to his purposes. And so this repurposing takes place multiple times in a person's life. Because, Mel, can you put up the blue seats? After a while, as life happens, what happens? There's going to be dings and scratches and it's going to get beat up again, and it's going to need to be repurposed again, isn't it? It's going to need to be repurposed again. And I am a firm believer, without a shadow of a doubt, God does not waste anything or anyone. And so if you are a veteran here today and you've been serving God, as long as you are a vessel, willing to remain a vessel, surrendered to his use, there's always going to be a purpose for your existence. So maybe you want to just ask God, look, maybe you don't want to just ask him, God, what is it that you have next for me? But ask him, God, what is it that you would have me do right here, right now? At this very moment in my life where you have me, what is it that you would have me do? So be encouraged. God is not done. There's so much work to be done. There's so much work to be done. And to the second group of people, these are to the people who are content, people who are perfectly fine just coasting through life, not fully engaged in the purposes of God. You're perfectly content with just going through life. I remind you again that God is going to hold us all accountable for what we do with the life that he's given us. And there's going to be a day when each and every one of us have to give an account for this new life that he's given us and what we did with the gifts, what we did with the talents, what we did with our abilities that he gave us. And what are you going to be able to say to him? Are you prepared for that day? Will you be able to say that, God, I gave you everything? I lived according to your purposes every day. Or are you going to have to be completely honest with him, because only honesty can exist in the presence of God? You're going to have to say, God, I chose to worship my independence and my free will. Maybe you're here today and you have yet to embrace this truth. Maybe it's the first time you've ever heard that God has a purpose for your life. Now is the time to embrace it. Accept this truth that you've been repurposed. Accept this truth that God has given you a new function in life and walk fully in it. Do not become like these people that Paul is referring to, because that is the most frustrating life you will ever live, knowing that God has a purpose for my life, but choosing not to put on that purpose. And after a long time, you become hardened to God and unresponsive to God because you're so frustrated with it. And sooner or later, you lose all sensitivity to God. And you get lost in your own ways. That is the warning. This is the grace of God in Scripture, warning us not to walk in that way. So put on your new purpose every day and allow God to use you as an instrument of His will. And for that third and final group, is to those of you who are somewhere in the middle. You're currently living a life that's surrendered to God. You're living out this new purpose. Let me just say to you, can I just encourage you right now? Take it up a notch. Take it up a notch. Stretch your faith. Stretch your influence. Stretch your understanding of God's purpose for your life. Do not settle for less than God's highest and His best for you. So let this be a time in your life of expansion and exponential growth within you. Amen? Amen. Well, let's respond by standing right now. And we are going to partake in communion together. Oh, God, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Lord, I'm thankful for your grace. We are thankful for your grace. We thank you that you love us so much that you give us warnings. You let us know what's ahead so that we can recheck our lives and recalibrate if needed, God. You always bring us back to you. You're always pointing to yourself, and I thank you for that. So, Lord God, today we stand as your people, your anointed ones, called according to your purposes. God, I ask that you would make known to each and every one of us to a greater degree what that purpose in you is. May we take upon the life of Jesus. May we take upon his purpose and his mission as we identify with him right now as we take communion. Pray this in Jesus' name, and you can take that bread together. And Lord, as we hold this juice in our hand, it represents your incredible blood that washes us as white as snow. And Lord, you have determined by your amazing grace that because of the blood that washes over our sins, we're no longer seen as sinners, but we're now seen as saints in your eyes. We are seen as the righteousness of Christ, and we thank you for that. And so, Lord, in response to that, we say, help us discern what is pleasing in your eyes. Lord, teach us to walk according to the purpose that you have set before us. May we not be lovers of our independence, Lord, but lovers of your will and your purpose in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and take the juice. Amen. God is good, isn't he? What do you say we go out in a song of worship and praise? What do you say, huh? Let's just finish this up right and give him some praise and worship. Thank you, Lord.
Christ our King. come up the front, we'll pray with you. If anyone needs prayer for healing, oh, for an angel, come on up the front, we'll anoint you with oil. Don't be shy. Let's encourage you to walk in the power of God.
So amazed by your grace and the way you're still holding on.